Well, welcome everybody to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. We're pleased to have you all with us here. And we have a full group here tonight, both Megan and I up in Vermont. Hello, Megan, who's on mute, obviously.
Hello, Robin.
Yes.
And Anna and Karen down there at Grace Ranch. Welcome, ladies.
Hello, everyone.
Good evening, everybody.
And tonight, as we all, those who have joined us, we are going through the scriptures in the Walking in the Spirit seminar, which is available on the fishermanministry.org website. And tonight we're doing, we're starting with the section that is titled Believers in the Early Church. Now, one thing as I was going through these scriptures myself, you know, the thought came to me that just that very term, believers in the early church, how important that is, because the walk of faith is just that, where you believe the Word of God. And if you are like me, it is easy to believe the testimony of your flesh and by so doing disbelieve the Word of God. And I bring it up because our flesh is always going to be there. It is always contrary to faith in God's Word, what God has said from Genesis to Revelation, through Revelation. And it's a choice we have to make to believe. And so as we read these scriptures on believers in the early church, what we are seeing is people who did just that. They took God at His word. And the fruit of that faith we see when we read the New Testament, the book of Acts, largely because we see what the different people did, not just the apostles, but Stephen. We see Philip, who God used mightily, and who, he was translated. He ran and met a Ethiopian eunuch's chariot, got in and ministered the gospel to the man. The man got out and was baptized. I mean, he believed God. As a man, he was no different than the rest of us. He was a sinner whose flesh testified against him. His daughters were prophetesses. So all that the Word says and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the way to set it free in us is to actually believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and the testimony of God's Word and receive it and put off your own fleshly testimony, which wars against it. So the very first scripture is familiar to us all. It is Acts chapter 2. The seminar here has verse 3, but Karen's going to start with verse 1 and read down through 4.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Now remember, they were all in one place in one accord because they were walking in obedience to Jesus' command that said to go and wait until the promise came, which is this baptism of the Holy Spirit. They believed the gospel. They understood why at this point Jesus had to hang on a cross for them and shed His blood for them. And that blood and its sufficiency allowed them then to receive the inheritance of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had to die to be able to send. That which Jesus walked in, now they walked in. And they did this by faith in the Word of God. not by some feeling, not because they all of a sudden thought that they were perfect, but they received it and moved forward in it by faith in his word and in the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away all their sin. And you see here, too, where it is this baptism of the Spirit came in like manner as the baptism of Jesus Christ, which we know that the Spirit came down and lighted as a dove. And so it is with this description that these cloven tongues, like as a fire, sat upon each of them. And they then were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So I open it up to you guys.
One of the things is they began to speak. In other words, when the Lord moves on you, you open your mouth and he gives you the words. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have them beforehand. Usually they come when you open your mouth. It's kind of it's almost that first step of faith to open your mouth to speak and even start speaking and perhaps be waiting until what you have is right. Does that make sense?
Yes, but I think it's a very important point. They opened their mouths and spoke.
And the Spirit gave them what to speak.
Yes. Now they had to continue in faith through their daily walk. This was a pretty extraordinary event. But we know, and if you read Acts, you see how that looks. Well, Paul is the greatest example that the Lord has given us in the New Testament because he wrote most of it. And we see his life in the book of Acts and how he pressed on by his faith in the Word of God and in God's mercy and grace for him. And you just see a guy that just keeps on keeping on. But we're going to move to Acts 8, where it's the where the Samaritans accepted Christ. And we're not going to read the whole chapter, but Philip was the one who brought the Word of God in power to the Samaritans, to the point where unclean spirits crying with loud voices came out of many that were possessed, many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And that was, I kind of skipped around in verse 7 there of Acts 18. And we're going to read, Acts 8, excuse me, verse 17. But what happened is when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Because as we know, it is doctrinally by the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit is given. Now, Philip wasn't an apostle, but he signs and wonders followed him because he believed. These signs shall follow them that believed. And these people were turned to God because of Philip's ministry. And then the apostles went down. So if you want to actually just read 14 through 17 there, Megan, of chapter 8.
Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost.
Okay. Now, if you went on just to show that there was, we don't see how that looked, like we did in Acts 2, but the very next verse says, and when Simon, who was Simon the sorcerer, saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. So he actually could see that there was something they imparted to the Samaritans, though it's not described here in any kind of detail. And they received it. They received it. That's kind of like, Megan, when you were saying that they opened their mouths and spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. These are believers in the early church, those who received the Word of God all the way through to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is part of the Word of God, right? Part of that which God has for those who have received Him.
And it was something new that they had never seen before. It was new to the Samaritans.
Yeah. It was actually new to all of them. But if you think about it, you know what I mean?
Yep. And, because it was way back when the apostles were bringing the Holy Spirit, it was all a new thing.
Anne?
Yes?
Did you have anything you wanted to say before we move to Cornelius and his house?
No. Not at this time.
Okay. So, Karen, in Acts 10, we have the story of that includes both Peter and Cornelius that we all are familiar with, I believe, where Cornelius was a man who actually believed in the God of Israel. And we know that because he tithed, he offered, he gave alms. And we know that he tithed because God would not have received his alms had they been all he gave. And so this was a man that believed God. And God, having heard and seen this man's faith, sends Peter to him to minister the gospel to him. And Cornelius, of course, had people gathered. And Cornelius was held in high esteem. People esteemed this man. He was a man that walked circumspectly before the God of Israel. And so they came, and Peter comes with some other brethren. And verse 44 there. Peter ministers the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And then comes verse 44.
While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word.
Yep. So here we see not the Holy Spirit being given by the laying on of the apostles' hands, but given even as it was on the day of Pentecost to the Jews that were gathered there. And here's where God makes clear that that the gospel is for all, and so is all that the gospel brings, including the Holy Spirit. And God performed this act of his own free will, so that the Jews, Peter included, would know, because they didn't know that such things were for the Gentiles. Even though the Word of God in the Old Testament spoke it, they hadn't heard it yet. And yet, here the Lord makes it plain to them.
Okay, it's the two instances that we see where the Holy Ghost is given without the laying on of hands of the apostles. The first was Pentecost, and here was Cornelius and his household. Every other instance where the Holy Ghost is given, it is by the laying on of hands of the apostles. It shows that God can do it any way he wants to. But since those are the only two examples of the non-laying on of hands, are the way we teach it and the way we believe, it does become possible to have the Holy Ghost given by the laying on of hands of the apostles.
Yeah. That's doctrine.
Yeah, and like you said too, this was, I imagine Peter talking to the Gentiles would never have thought of praying for them to have the Holy Ghost. And God showed him in a way he could understand that it was for the Gentiles also and not just for the Jews.
And you notice the Lord had other witnesses besides just Peter to establish Peter's testimony then to the Jews. I have to say it, and you guys can comment on this, but when Paul had the dispute about circumcision and all, and he went up to Jerusalem, and James said, you know, these are the only things we're going to lay on the Gentiles. Well, you can kind of see there where they still had a looking down upon the Gentiles, not understanding that the gospel is one gospel for all, Jew and Gentile alike, that none of us can keep any law that before the Lord. And so, you know, for the Gentiles, they only had to keep, they abstain from fornication, abstain from things strangled, and abstain from blood, I think were the things. Well, that's all, and Paul was good with that, but that's how Paul walked. And he was a Jew, because he understood the depth and the utter need of the gospel for all, even a Jew. Go ahead, Megan.
Well, I was going to, it actually kind of leads into the next one, what Anne was saying there about the Holy Spirit being imparted either by the Lord himself or by the laying on of hands of the apostles. You see that in Acts 19, which is actually our next reference that we're going into. But it starts at verse 1 that we could perhaps start at.
Sure.
Is it my turn?
It is.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Yeah. And all the men were about 12.
And they were the fruit of Apollos' ministry, and Apollos only knew John's baptism. And in 18, you can go back and see where Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and explained more clearly the gospel. That might not have been the word that was used, but expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. But Paul then comes upon these converts under Apollos, and he does likewise. And they receive the word at Paul, the further instruction, the more perfect gospel, and then were baptized in water. They'd been baptized with John's baptism, but that isn't the baptism by which we're baptized. And then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were also baptized with the Holy Spirit. The next one is, there's a few scriptures here, and it's under the title, The Spirit Bears Witness to Believers. And I just want to remind everybody that this is something that occurs by faith. We've got our natural man that will discount the testimony and the witness of the Holy Spirit if we let it. The first one here, Karen, is Romans 8:16.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Amen. Well, and would you go up and read 15 also?
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that is because we've accepted God's terms, which is to humble ourselves before Him and receive the salvation Jesus wrought on that cross for us. And then we partake of the inheritance which He gives the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And that Spirit beareth witness with the truth by which we are His children. The next one, we go into Galatians chapter 4. I'm paging through to find it. Verse 6.
And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
And of course, that Abba is like Daddy. It's a personal... He's become our Father. He's approachable, available there for us. We matter to Him. He's our Heavenly Father. And that Spirit cries, you know, it looks towards Him, looks for His grace, looks for His mercy, looks for His help. It cries unto Him, knowing our utter need and hope that He is there. Because we believe His word. Not because we're like deserving of it or anything, but that's why He died for us. So we rest in that sacrifice as being sufficient. Then we're going to move into the first epistle of John. John, 1 John 3:24. Excuse me as I page.
And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us.
Okay. Now, if you go back up, you'll see his commandments are, if you want to read 23 and 24 together there, Karen, we'll see what these commandments that he has called us to keep are.
And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us.
Yeah. And this is not something that our flesh partakes of. So we can't, this is not something that is accomplished in our flesh, nor does our flesh come into agreement with it. It's something, and it looks back to what Paul ministered in Romans chapter 7 about his flesh versus his soul and spirit, where he makes that division and lets his flesh do what it's going to do, which is called sin. But with his mind, he chose to serve the law of God. And the law of God is to believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. That's the law of God. And he that keepeth these two commandments, and it takes faith. It takes a choice by faith, where we exercise our faith to believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then that Spirit in us, it's only by his Spirit that we can love with God's love one another. And as we know, it is loving the soul of another, not it doesn't have anything to do with the flesh. Just like we love our own souls and not our flesh, so we love another's soul by the Spirit of God. The next one is 1 John 4, verse 13.
Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit.
And, you know, that Spirit beareth witness. Remember, this is something that we dwell in by faith, believing that that which God has spoken is true in us. We're filled with His Spirit. And if that's what we will look at and that's what we will know, then that testimony that we dwell in Him bears witness to us. Because we dwell in Him by faith because of what He did that made it possible, made us acceptable, gave us that entrance in. It is that Holy Spirit that enables us to love. And if you've experienced that love, you know what I'm talking about. It's not a natural love, not a fleshly love. The last one in this section is 1 John 5:6.
This is he that...
Hold on, let's see if where we might should start. Why don't you start with why don't you start with verse 1? It's not very many verses to get through verse 6.
Okay. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth.
Okay. You notice there, before we get into verse 6, that what is our overcoming? Even our faith. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith in the Word of God, in the sufficiency of the sacrifice for our reconciliation to God, and faith in His Word. This is he, Jesus, that came by water and blood. Not by water only, and that water there is referring to the fact that he was baptized by John. And by blood he hung on a cross. And the Spirit bore witness to these two things and to who he was, because when he came up out of that water, baptism was when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and John saw it and gave testimony of it, and that's where we know that it came down like as a dove, and it was the very thing that the Lord had told John, that was the testimony that he would see, that he would know that was his only begotten Son. And John saw it and gave testimony to it. And then the Spirit bore witness of the blood because he raised him up from the dead. That same Spirit is the Spirit that wants to work in and through each of us, bearing witness at who we are in him, and the word that we bring is his. We can only do this by faith. We can only walk in his love if we believe him. And go forth because of that faith, notwithstanding how we feel or what we think we look like or whatever else might enter our minds. There's a whole boatload of things that can enter our minds, but we have to believe on him and that testimony. That is our victory, even our faith in him and in his word. The next one, now we have to page back in our Bibles if we're using paper, is the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And the first scripture here is Matthew 10:19.
But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak.
Okay. And then if you'll read 20.
For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you.
And this is Jesus talking to the disciples, I think, and he's letting them know what's going to happen, both what they need to be aware of and also that they're going to be taken before, you know, rulers and everything. But don't be concerned about it, that God's going to give them exactly what they need to say in that hour, and it's going to be the Spirit that does it. And this was that Spirit baptism that they were that occurred on Pentecost, and we know reading Acts, we see this come to pass. The next one is Luke 12:12.
One other thing on that quickly is that you're brought before leaders and rulers and governors and whatnot for the Lord's sake, not just, you know, willy-nilly, if you will, but kind of almost as a persecution perhaps. And in that time, the Lord will give you what, the Holy Spirit will give you what needs to be said.
I think one of the things about rulers and governors, and you see it take place, I think it was Festus with Paul, but it was when Paul was bound and he's now in, if he's not in Rome, he's moving towards Rome, and he appealed to Caesar and all this stuff, and he's given an audience both by Felix, and then I think Festus comes in after Felix, but you'd want to check me out on that. And Festus's, and these men knew the Jewish religion. They knew what had occurred. They were present. These are Roman rulers in these areas. This was not hidden to them. And if I'm right with Festus, but whoever it was, he says, you almost have me convinced to believe. And Paul said, I would that you would. But you see, the other thing that happens is they are given the opportunity clearly. And what they then answer to that opportunity is their choice. But without a doubt, there was, it was not hidden, and the gospel was ministered in the hope of salvation. Paul didn't minister it to their damnation. He ministered to it in the hope they'd receive it. We don't see that they did. In fact, the one before him, who I think was Felix, wanting to make the Jews kind of happy, left Paul in chains. Not because he thought Paul should be in chains, but wanting to make the Jews happy, or however it's put, he left him there, and then in comes the next one, and Paul had audience with him and almost convinced him, but it doesn't look like he did, or at least we don't, there's no testimony or record of that.
Well, you had mentioned earlier that they had a choice, but that wasn't just for them, that's for everybody who hears the gospel today. They have a choice whether to accept it or not. And it's not our responsibility to make them accept it. It's our responsibility to give them the gospel.
Yeah.
And then it's up to them. We can't make them accept.
But it's important to bring the gospel, and something we need to prayerfully lift up to the Lord, that we will not miss the opportunities He would have for us. Because how can people make a choice if they don't know what the choices are? Oh, and Jeannie said it was King Agrippa who was almost persuaded, Acts 26:27. Thank you. In fact, I think if you go back and read it, Paul starts out his discourse saying, you know, these things aren't hidden from you. But it is that pure gospel that we know, that it is by the blood of the Lamb and the blood of only. In fact, in Acts, it's called the gospel of grace. I think it's Acts. Paul uses that term. The gospel of grace. That's how we are saved. Most gospels out there are gospels of works, as though in some way we rise above everyone else, or maybe already were above everybody else, and that's why we're saved. No, none of us deserve it, and none of us are better than anybody else. We all deserve damnation in the eyes of the Lord. But He sent His Son to shed His blood to give every one of us the opportunity to be reconciled with him. And he is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter who or what you are or what you've done or what you haven't done. Everybody has the opportunity to be reconciled to God by the sacrifice that was wrought on that cross by Jesus. Everybody. And there's no other reconciliation but by it. None. Luke 12:12. And would you read up a little further? Let's see. Verse just 11 and 12 will be fine.
And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say.
Okay. It's a second testimony of what we read in Matthew. And, you know, if you stop and think about it, one of the greatest examples that is given to us in the Word of God is Stephen, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, was a deacon, I think. Am I right on that, Anne? He wasn't an apostle.
Yeah, he was a deacon.
Yep, and yet he was stoned for the Word of God. But in that hour, the Holy Spirit taught him, and actually Stephen's answer had revelation in it that only the Spirit of God could have shown him, taught him. And, of course, they stoned him anyways, even seeing his face as though it were an angel. And yet Paul was the fruit of Stephen in the sense that Stephen asked the Lord not to lay this sin against them. I know that's not how he put it. And Paul was one that was a beneficiary of that prayer of Stephen's, because Paul was a partaker of Stephen's stoning and yet was reconciled unto God by Jesus Christ. And then John 14:26.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
Yeah. The Comforter. He is the Comforter. He is the one that testifies that the Word of God is true and that we are God's. And that's a comfort as we walk through this life. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, we didn't walk with Jesus, and he didn't say these things to us, but he has spoken unto us both through his word and through his apostles and others the word of God. And this is a promise here that we can take a hold of and believe that, one, that he has sent the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, which I think all of us or most of us have received that baptism. And it says he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And we're going to see in some of the John scriptures that we're going to go through in 1 John where John says you have no need that, we'll look at him, but see, what we have heard, he will bring back to our remembrance. He's gonna bring it back to us. We have heard the true word of God. We have heard the faith that Paul's whole life fought to hold on to. And we know that his conversation was that he had kept the faith. And that was the complete and utter sufficiency of the blood of the Lamb and our total and complete dependence upon it. And that there is nothing else that makes us in right standing with God other than faith in that. With faith in that, then we can move forward because of that reconciliation in him and be his representatives, his ambassadors here, be him here for those who do not yet know the truth. Walking even as he walked is his commandment in John, 1 John. 1 Corinthians 2, and I think if you'd read 12, 13, and 14, and if you let me go there, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm there.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
You know, that verse 14 is interesting, because I always read it as though those outside of Christ can't know these things. But our own natural man can't know these things either. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And this is where we have to reckon ourselves dead and give no heed to our natural man, because it can't receive the things of God. It cannot receive them. But our spiritual man can. And is that what we have to stand in? Through that reconciliation, through that baptism, through that right standing with God, we stand in the place where it is our spiritual man in which we stand, and it can receive the things of God. He says in 12, we haven't received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He wants us to have them. They're there for the taking. We just have to believe. We have to take him at his word. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, Anne, I want to make sure I get this right, but the words the Holy Ghost teacheth are tongues. I know also that God gives the interpretation of tongues so that it is profitable.
Yeah, that's right.
So these are things that are freely given to us. All we have to do is actually take God at his word. And as I said, our flesh can't, but our spirit can.
You know, this verse 13 here goes back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which, you know, everyone's heard. You know, the things that we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, our own understanding is also, you know, a part of that. The things of the Lord, your natural man doesn't get them.
Yeah. You're right, because it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding. It's always going to lead you astray, because it is at war and at enmity and contrary to the word of God. So it takes humility.
To submit yourself to a teacher you cannot see, rather than leaning on your own understanding, which you may not be able to see, but you certainly have an ingrained perception of it.
You know, the way I see it personally, it's, gosh, we're familiar with our flesh and its testimonies. We've believed them all our lives, mm-hmm. You know. When we come to the Lord, we have to recognize that that isn't a right testimony. It just isn't. And we're naturally, in our natural man, what we can see, touch, you know, taste, whatever, is more real if we let it be. This is where we make that choice to no longer have that be what rules us and what we believe and give heed to. it really comes down to a choice to believe God. And sometimes it's a difficult choice because it doesn't seem true is the way, only way I can put it. Our flesh seems far truer at times, and its testimony and its way. But the Word of God is true. It's the only thing that's true. And we gotta desire it. We have to know that and then desire it and pray for it and recognize the only way for it to happen is one, to believe God for it, and also as He shows us where we're in agreement with our flesh and not Him, to put it off. To put it off. Grow in Him. Believe Him. Sometimes that testimony comes from others. And it is, as you said, Megan, humbling. But that's okay, right?
It's good and right.
Yes. It's more than okay. It's also yeah. safe and a gift of God. 1 John 2:27. 2:27, yes.
But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him.
First of all, in this verse, it says, but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. Just right there can be a hard thing to believe sometimes, but it's something we gotta choose to believe. The anointing which I have received of Him abides in me. And I don't need any man to teach me. Now, this isn't to say that I don't need, those to hear the word at others. It doesn't mean that I don't need the revelation that comes by the apostles. It doesn't mean that I don't need correction. But that which I have received, I need to stand in, and I don't need anybody. I don't need anything else. I don't need any other teacher. I've received it. I have to now walk by faith in it. Believe in it. And it says here, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things. Now that anointing, just so we all know, make sure we all know, comes down through the anointing of the apostle. And there are only 7 anointings. It's not like, and those of us here, I'm pretty certain all of us partake of the same anointing which has come through Davy. There are other anointings out there. There's 6 others. Let us war good warfare that we really do walk in that anointing that we have received, which is a good anointing. But as the same anointing teacheth you all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. So, let it teach you. Believe it. War, good warfare. And in that you will abide.
I just want to emphasize what you said earlier. This is by faith.
Yes.
We have to believe. We have to have faith. Or it does not happen.
Some think they're good and therefore they walk around feeling pretty good about themselves. That isn't faith. Some think they're bad and walk around feeling pretty despicable, and that's not faith. Faith is, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Period. It's the only way we can avail ourselves and have the Word of God abide, dwell, and do its work in us. The only way. When it says He will, where Paul says, having confidence of this very thing, that He which began a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's where we have to give it place, that its performance can rot that good fruit. That's where we and we know his two commandments is to love God, to believe on Jesus Christ, to love God, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's our neighbor's soul, even as we love our own soul. And the only way to love our own soul is to feed it the Word of God and choose the Word of God over any other testimony, including the testimony of the world. But we don't even need the world to negate the Word. We can do it on our dang own, you know what I mean? Well, the next one is the leadership of the Holy Spirit, but why don't we wait and do that one next week since we only have like 6 minutes left.
I was just typing you a message to suggest that.
Well, cool. Alrighty, so the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Once again, this is, I think we found last week, it's both under Bible studies and teachings on the fishermanministry.org website. But if you go back and you read them, just recognize this is your inheritance in Christ by faith. And it really doesn't matter how you've been, what you've done, what you haven't done, how you think of yourself. It's a choice to believe him for it because it's freely given to us because we've received his reconciliation through Jesus Christ, and this is part of it. So let us not stop with that reconciliation, but now let us, what does it say? He gave us power to become the sons of God. It's up to us to take hold of that power by faith and let it do its work and become those sons and, in our case, many of us, daughters of God. Amen?
Amen.
Well, thank you guys for joining us, and may the Lord quicken you in me and his truth, and may we come into agreement with it and live. So we'll see y'all next week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.